Kia ora e te whānau, nau mai hoki mai ki Māori Millennia. Welcome back to the Māori Millennia podcast. Today I want to talk about something that might challenge what you've been told your whole life. Because if working hard was enough to get rich, a lot more families would already be wealthy. And yet we all know families who work incredibly hard, sometimes across multiple jobs, generations even, and still struggle financially. So the question is, why do some families build wealth across generations while others stay stuck? It's not because one group works harder than the other. And I just wanted to touch on this for a little bit because this is actually what got me into money in the first place. So I was 8 years old when I first read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that was because when I looked at myself and I looked at other kids at school, you know, we didn't have lots of pūtea. And when I looked at other kids who came from families who did have a lot more money, one of the things that I was taught was that if I worked hard, I could create wealth. And when I looked at my family versus other families, I saw that hard work was not the common denominator. I saw that my whānau was working hard, but, you know, we didn't have as much money as some of these other whānau had. And so I was really confused as a young person because I was like, well, everyone's telling me to work hard, but I don't see that being the common thing that actually, you know, is the differentiator between a rich family and a poor family. And so if hard work isn't it, what is it? I'm going to talk to you about the work ethic myth. We love the idea that wealth is simply the reward for hard work because it feels fair and it feels motivating, right? Because if you work hard, do the mahi, get the treats, right? But it's actually an incomplete whakaro. Some of the hardest working people I know, they work long hours, they do physical, exhausting jobs, they really take time off work, they carry huge responsibility, but they still live paycheck to paycheck. Meanwhile, some wealthy families aren't necessarily working harder, but they're working differently. You know, some of the richest people I know, they don't even have jobs, you know, but they're still working in some type of capacity. So as an example, I recently met someone who is a property investor who literally doesn't have a job, but he's always scouting out new opportunities. He's always looking at new houses to buy. He's always learning new things. He's always listening to audiobooks. He's also always researching. So he's working, but just in a very different way. This isn't about laziness. It's about systems. It's about exposure, and it's about knowledge. So wealth is really built at the dinner table, if you think about it, because one of the biggest differences between families who build wealth and those who don't is conversation. In wealthy families, money is being talked about early and often, not in a braggy way, but in a very practical way. So kids hear conversations about saving and investing, risk and reward, long-term thinking, ownership instead of just income. Whereas in other families, money is either a source of stress, a taboo topic, and something that kids are protected from. But silence around money doesn't protect kids. It delays learning. Now, obviously, if your whānau is experiencing a lot of financial stress, it might do more harm, you know, bringing children into this. That's where discernment is practiced. But I'm just talking about some of the things that I've noticed that wealthy families do differently. The other one is exposure. And exposure actually matters more than motivation because you can't want what you've never seen. And I just want to share an example with you. When I started Māori Millennia, my goal was to become a millionaire, right? But in this journey, I've realized that, like, I'm still not a millionaire yet, but one of the things I was thinking about is actually, that's actually still a small goal. Like, it's huge, but it's also still a small goal. And what I mean by that is the people I've met, the wealth that they've created, it's like 10x my wildest dreams. And I'm actually going to share an example with you. I was at this event and basically I was doing this presentation to pitch for support for my book tour that I was wanting to do for my book, which started last year and is finishing this year. And one of the biggest challenges I had with thinking about this and planning this was that, you know, obviously if you're hosting an event, you've got to have kai. And that was like the thing that was at the forefront of my brain was how are we going to feed these people? You know, when I was mapping out doing a nationwide book tour and I like picked out like how much the finances would cost for all of this, I was like, events actually cost a lot of money. And so I was like, I've got to think of a way to be able to do this sustainably so that I can reach more people. And so I was pitching and I was saying, you know, I needed support around this. And the feedback I got from the people who I was pitching to was that I was thinking too small. Which is crazy because I've always been so ambitious. I've always been such a big thinker. I've always, you know, had big dreams. But still, I was thinking too small. You know, it's crazy how much your goals change when you actually see that there's more available out there. You know, where my initial goal was, I just want to be able to feed the people. You know, it was like, okay, how can I actually do this but think bigger? Think something more amazing, you know? And that's why exposure matters more than motivation, because you cannot want what you've never seen. So families that build wealth, they often have early exposure to things like investing, business ownership, property, financial systems, because that stuff is normal. But for other families, the exposure is to things like debt, survival mode, short-term decision-making, or we'll deal with it later, or the stress that comes from putia. That doesn't mean that people don't care. It just means that they're operating from a different map. And when you have a different map, it's quite hard to, you know, show a map of a different location, right? You know, so this first generation, so as an example, maybe you grew up and your whānau didn't have much putia and there was a lot of financial stress, but you're this next generation where you get to change that for your tamariki. So you get to start having those conversations with your tamariki about investing, business ownership, all of those things, property, financial systems. You get to be the change maker. You get to be that person that leads the way for your whānau. You get to be the light in the darkness. And that's what's going to allow your whānau to grow from this, because when you talk about this with your whānau, when you're having these conversations, when it's just so normal to invest and to buy property and to be in business, that's just so normal. And so as humans, we all want to fit in. We all want to be like everyone else. And so if everyone in your whānau all care about putia and they all care about investing and long-term wealth strategies, those are naturally going to be things you care about. As an example, if you grow up in a household where you didn't learn about nutrition and, you know, you eat takeaways a lot, you're probably going to have similar habits as an adult, because what's normalized is your normal. And if you want to change that, it's going to take a lot of work of rewiring your mind and changing your habits and all of those different things. Number four is the difference between income and wealth. Another key difference is that high income is not the same as wealth. And I think that a lot of whānau who haven't built long-term wealth will often misconstrue the two. So many families will focus solely on earning more, working overtime, and getting the next raise. Whereas wealth-building families will focus on things like, what happens after the money is earned? What are you doing with that money? Where does money flow? And I actually saw this really awesome post. I can't remember who posted it. I'm so sorry. But it was about putia being like white, and it's got a flow, and it's got a, you know, it's got this whole flowing network, as opposed to money just being like, there's not enough, not enough, not enough, scarcity. But there's actually so much out there. So where money flows, how money multiplies. Rich people and rich whānau will ask things like, how do we make money work for us, not just trade time for it? And they find ways to do this and they work together. Now, number five is risk, safety, and fear. So a risk tolerance is actually taught in these whānau. So families who have experienced instability, they'll often prioritize safety, understandably, of course. But safety can sometimes look like avoiding investing, holding only cash, saying no to opportunities, because it feels scary. Like if you've grown up and maybe there have been times where there wasn't enough kai in the cupboards, or there wasn't, you know, rent wasn't paid and power got turned off, then of course you're going to want to be safe. You're going to want to, you know, hoard money so that you never have to go back to that. But that's not going to actually build wealth. That's just going to be safe. That's going to be your safe zone. But wealth building families tend to, they understand calculated risk. They accept short-term discomfort for long-term gain. And they teach their kids that mistakes are part of learning. This isn't about recklessness. It's about confidence with uncertainty. Number six is intergenerational patterns. So one of the important things that I talked about in my book, which was actually chapter one, was it didn't start with you. And I talk about colonization and the impacts this has had on our community, because a lot of the books that I've read about money, they talk about poor habits that people have, but they don't talk beneath the surface of where did those poor habits actually come from. And I really believe in finding the root cause of things, because when you find the root cause, you can actually stop that from growing. You know, if you, for example, you had a garden and it's full of weeds and you just kind of like covered it with dirt, the weeds are still going to grow up. You want to get to the root cause, and that's why it's really important that I talked about that. Colonization is the root cause of the disparities and outcomes that whānau Māori experience. So wealth doesn't just pass money down. It passes down mindsets, behaviors, and beliefs. So if your whānau hasn't had wealth, you know, financial abundance, then that's not going to be passed down. Some families will pass down money is stressful, better not talk about it, don't take risks, whereas others will pass down money is a tool, we can learn from this, we can learn from our mistakes, we think long term, these patterns repeat until someone becomes aware enough to interrupt them. And that's you. You're that person in your whānau being the person who's going to interrupt these kōrero. Number seven is, what does this actually mean for you? Here's the empowering part. If you didn't grow up with these conversations, it's not your fault, but it is your opportunity and it's your responsibility to change things if that's what you desire. You can learn from what wasn't taught. You can talk about money openly in your whare. You can expose yourself and your tamariki to new ways of thinking. You can build systems instead of relying on hustle alone. You can learn wealth building strategies. You don't need to come from a wealthy family to be the one who changes the trajectory. This isn't about shame. This conversation isn't about blaming families. It's about understanding the real reasons that wealth accumulates or doesn't. Because when we tell people, just work harder, we ignore the truth. Wealth is built through knowledge, systems, exposure, intention, discipline, over time, delaying gratification, living within your means, investing the difference. If this episode made you think differently, please send this to a friend or share it on your story. I'm on a mission to grow this podcast in 2026, but I cannot do it without your support. So I'd be so grateful if you enjoyed this episode, send it to a friend, share it on your story. If you have any podcast requests or recommendations, please send me a message. I would love to hear from you. Instagram is the best way to reach me. But otherwise, that is us for today, Te Whānau. I will be back a popo for a new podcast episode. Ka kite!